Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you feel that power? Hallelujah. I can feel the cleansing power of the living God. I can feel it purging away sin. I can feel it granting mercy and compassion. Hallelujah. What an awesome God that we're serving. Hallelujah. Just love Him and worship Him and praise Him this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Is in this place.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You love Him this morning? Hallelujah. He loves you. Let's bow our head as we go boldly before the throne of grace. Father God, we love you and thank you. Thank you for your presence, your mercy, your compassion. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're a long-suffering God, a merciful God. Father God, filling our infirmities. Lord, filling our infirmities in such a way that you took that body of sin and death to the cross of Calvary and mortified and killed it out. Father, help us, Lord God, to bring it into an application in our present day life that we could kill and mortify out that old man, that sinful image and nature, Lord. Father God, knowing that you've equipped us and given us the authority and the power over the flesh. Father, have your way within this service this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're present and here and vindicating yourself in your mercy and grace and your strength and your power. We love you, Jesus. As always, we have such a great expectation of you, Lord God, not of the minister, but of the Spirit of Christ that dwells therein. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you open ears to hear what the Spirit of God says. Open mouths to speak what the Spirit of God is speaking. Father, we thank you. We praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all be seated. Hallelujah. It's an awesome thing to know that your name is written in the book of life. You say, Brother Rob, how do you know that it's in there? You know because he says, and it is written, that who he has mercy on, he has mercy. We have to have faith, brothers and sisters, and set our faith in believing. We have to set our faith in him. There's a mind of man, a mind of the sin nature that continually comes in accusing. And the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And he's always accusing and always there trying to destroy, defeat, and to take your joy and your love. But we stand strong, believing and trusting in the grace of a living God. Amen. Y'all love him this morning? Amen. Let's turn over to Romans to chapter 7 this morning. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Boy, a lot could be said right there if I stopped right there. The law having dominion over you as long as you live. I can stop right there and say this, that I say that we no longer live. We've been crucified with Christ. And the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God. So the law no longer has dominion over me because I'm dead in Christ. Amen. But let's go on. It says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. The woman saying there would be free to marry if that man is gone on because she's no longer bound to him. So then if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandments which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. I want you to think about that verse 10 a minute. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. How many of you have been there? Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Let me say that again. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Makes us think of the passage of Scripture says when the sons of God came to present themselves, that the devil is there also. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. A lot could be said there. If I took verse 25 out of this passage of Scriptures of an overall context of thought, and I'll read it again. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I myself serve the Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now we could think there that that would give us a grace, so to speak, to let our flesh serve the laws of sin. But that's not what it's saying there. We find a brother with great revelation, great understanding, as you hear me say so oftentimes, that wrote about 2/3 of this New Testament. We know it's God breathed, inspired by God. But Paul, utilizing his life, submitting to the Spirit of God, wrote a biggest part of this New Testament. And here he's talking about the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing, and the very things I hate to do are the very things I find myself doing. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? We could take this passage of Scriptures to condone weaknesses in our life. We could say, hey, you know, this brother here wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And look at this, he's confessing weakness. He's confessing that he does the very things he don't want to do. But see, brothers and sisters, that's not at all what he's bringing forth in this passage of Scripture. He's rending the veil between the body of flesh and the inner quickening spirit and power of a living God. There's no good thing in the flesh. If you would go back to where we started reading in this passage of Scriptures, he said that when a man dies, the woman is no longer bound to the law of marriage to that man, and she's free to remarry. But if she marries while that man still yet lives, then that woman would be an adulteress. And then he goes on to say that, using the same example, that we be married unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer married to this body of death of sin, and it's put away and done away with. We're no longer bound to that law of the flesh. We're no longer bound or held by that law of the flesh. But as we differentiate between the inner man and the outer man, between the born again inner quickening spirit, and between this first birth that was born under the Adamic nature of Adam with a sentence of death, as we differentiate between these two, we find a warfare. We find a war laying within the members of your own flesh. We find one that's wanting to do good and the other that's wanting to do evil. Now, this is a common thing among all people. We could stand before and say, oh man, I don't have the travails. I don't have warfare. You know, man, I'm just a perfect saint of God, and I just walk right down the trail, you know, every day, you know, praise God. Well, let me tell you this. You know, you need to come into the altar this morning and get that lying devil cast out of you. But Brother Rob, you say that by the reading of the Scriptures that we are perfect. Oh yes, I've been made perfect by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary and by His blood, amen, that He made me perfect. He said, be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. But you see, then I'm speaking by the Spirit. I'm speaking about the born again spirit of perfection and that quickening spirit that dwells within me that is an overcomer with all power and authority, and it doesn't submit to the laws of the flesh. But if I would speak by the motions and the deeds and the laws of the flesh, I'd say just as Brother Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from the body of death?" This does not give any authority and power to the flesh to have dominion over the spirit. This passage of scripture is not condoning weakness. It's not condoning it, but it's making you understand that there are two that dwell, and that you have got to let the strong man live and dwell and have dominion and reign and authority and power. Amen. If we go back to where we started reading in this chapter, and it's talking about marriage. You see, the Bible says that the woman submits herself unto the husband. There has to be a headship and authority in the household. The woman has to come in by subjection and submission under the headship. The man must rule the house. This is speaking, naturally speaking, in that first dimension. When we come into the soul realm, the second dimension we could say, or having to do with the second heaven, we do know that this quickening spirit of Christ, this invisible part that dwelleth within, must have authority and dominion dwelling over the feminine, which is the outer garment of iniquity, the flesh. I know that some of you that have not been educated and indoctrinated in the scriptures, and the word might sound somewhat confusing. The word's not confusing when you learn to differentiate between the body, soul, and the spirit. First dimension, I'm masculine, I'm a man. In the first dimension, if I went and married another man, I'm a pervert, a faggot, a queer, a sodomite. Not gay. Gay's happy. But that's what I would be. And the Bible said that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's in the first dimension. When we go into the second, the Bible said he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So then I stand before you and say, I'm the bride of Christ. And one would say, looking from the natural dimension, say, you're a pervert. You being a man, you say you're married unto him. You're a pervert. You see, but you don't understand. You have to differentiate and change dimensions. You see, we must enter into the secret chambers of the Most High God, into that place to have that relationship with him, that you receive the seed within your womb. Naturally speaking, the man and woman in the marriage situation, the seed goes forth from the man into the woman, and she brings fruit of the womb, a child. The woman being saved in childbearing, the Bible says, and we being the woman, the bride of Christ, was spared and saved by the grace of God for childbearing to bring forth the Christ child. We must enter into that secret place with the Most High God in the Spirit, and we enter in with him in that place, and we receive the seed of the Word of God, and we bring forth the fruit of the womb. Amen. The fruit. The Bible said it's that seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. It is that seed, brothers and sisters, that brings forth the born again Spirit of God. So we're looking at two different dimensions. Now, with that thought in mind, going back and reading there in Romans 7, we find two different that live. We find the first man, Adam. We find the Adamic nature of Adam. We find Paul saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death?" And then we find differentiating the veil there and letting the inner quickening spirit find time to speak forth. Knowing who you are, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I have all power and authority and dominion over those principalities and every power. There's no things visible or no things invisible, no thrones, no dominions, no powers that I have to subject myself to, because I've got all authority and power over them all in Christ. All the impossible things are made possible in Christ Jesus. Who are you going to yield your members to is who you are of. Now, brothers and sisters, when we go through the motions of the flesh and we give our strength over to the flesh and to the pride of this life and the prestige of this world and this life, then we are of the flesh. And it will have dominion over us and kill us and destroy us. The carnal mind is enmity with God, and the carnal mind is death. And he said, I serve this law of God in my mind, is what he said. We've got to learn to first take authority and control in our mind. We're not out, brothers and sisters, falling in the motions of sin and death until we first and utmost have submitted our mind to it. You see, the travail and the warfare starts in thought. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. There's so many times that our confession isn't right, and then it becomes a deed within our flesh because we do not confess right. Oh, I'm weak. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, God understands. Oh, God, you know, he knows that I can't do it. That's a lie. God knows that you could do all things through Christ. God knows that He has given you the power of the Holy Ghost, that you have all authority and power to put all things under your feet. You're inexcusable. We cannot walk in the motions of the sinful lifestyle and think that we have some kind of advocate with God, that we can continue on in sin. Brothers and sisters, we've got to recognize this warfare. You say, well, it's not fair. It is too fair because He's equipped us with the power of God. He said, it's expedient that I go back to the Father, that I could send back the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, that He could send back the Holy Ghost, the power, that you can be endued with power, the power to overcome, the power to overcome sin, the power to overcome flesh, the power to overcome lust, the power to overcome drunkenness, the power to overcome all, anything. There's nothing, brothers and sisters, that the power of God cannot deliver you from. There's nothing whatsoever that is more powerful than God. When you struggle with little things, you're submitting over to the demonic powers of the enemy and to the flesh. Let me say this, when we start rending the veil here, let's talk about the flesh for a moment, and we'll talk also about the power of Satan. When you stand in the Spirit endued with the power of God, Satan's spirit is weak. But when you stand in the flesh to come against the things of Satan, he's powerful. You cannot fight against him in your flesh. You think, well, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do good. You can't do better and you can't do good. In many of our Pentecostal churches, they teach that, you know, you got to get your life cleaned up and you get right with God that you could be filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll never get cleaned up and get right without the Holy Ghost. Well, I got to become perfect for I can receive this power. No, the power is what makes you perfect. They got things crossed up just a little bit. You will never, ever be perfect without the spirit of perfection, and that's the spirit of the Holy Ghost. It won't happen. One could say, well, I've felt this spirit, I've felt this power, I've walked in it, and then I found myself back out in the motions of the flesh, out in the mire, out there in the things of this world. Well, there's many ways to look at such a thought. The Bible says that when you go back into the world, it was to be made manifest that you were never of Him. And you think, wow, that's a frightening thought. That's a scary thought. Then yet we have the little story about the prodigal that went out and desired to eat of the things in the pig's pen. And you say, well, maybe it's a prodigal. Maybe so. Which one is it? Well, I could say this, brothers and sisters. The Bible teaches that beasts have no conscience. When we think of not having a conscience, you see, there's a conscience of sin that's within your members. And you think, well, if I have no conscience, I'm a beast. Well, let me help you out there. You're all beasts. He was all born in the beast nature. If that's offensive to you, I'm sorry. But Jesus Christ came in the beast image. The Bible said He came in the image of sin. He was shown in the Old Testament as a serpent up on a pole for the healing of the nations. Jesus Christ came in the image of the beast and sin. That's why He took it to the cross and had it beaten beyond mar, beyond recognition, and had a thing beaten to the point of every drop and every ounce of blood came out of that body. Again, the Bible says that we're not to know Him after that image no more. The Catholic Church, the mother of all harlots, is the one that holds Jesus Christ on the cross and keeps Him in a stripped off way. And many of the Protestant churches have received that and taken it in, and they got our God, our salvation, our Savior, hanging on a cross. We're not to no longer know Him after that image, the Bible teaches us. The thing is if we're commanded not to know Jesus after that image, then we're commanded not to know ourselves after that image of the sin nature. I'm not to know you after the flesh, but I'm to know you after the Spirit. And you say, well, then in that case, Brother Rob, don't know me in my drinking, my snorting, my smoking, my lying, my carousing around, my cheating, my doping. Don't know me after that. Just know me after the Spirit. But see, many times I do know you after the Spirit because those things, because it's the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the devil that has taken your members into captivity, and he is utilizing your flesh. We find Brother Paul here saying, I hate the things that I do. The things that I hate are the things I find myself doing. And he said that it goes to the members of the law of his flesh. Brothers and sisters, so we find a warfare, a travail. You say, I know I want to do right. I know I want to do what's good. Well, what's happening is you're finding yourself being raped and molested. And you say, that's strong terminology, brother. Well, sometimes I got to speak rather strong terminology to let you know what is happening. The Bible said that the strong man has to be bound before this other one could come into your house. And, you know, if you're a strong man and there was one going to come into your house and have his way with your family or with the members of your family, that strong man would have to be bound. I'm not going to let someone come in and ravish my wife. They're going to have to bind me. I'm not going to say, here, man, have your way. Oh, here's my wife. Here's my daughters over in the other room. Just have your way with them. No, they're going to have to fight me. Now, the thing is as many times, brothers and sisters, We don't fight the good fight of faith. Many times we just yield over to those things. You know, there's little children that are molested by men and by women and things, little children. And you think, why don't they fight to keep things as pure as possible of understanding? But you see, there is a member in the flesh. God made man and woman desire one another. They made their desires there that they would increase and multiply and replenish the earth. And there's a godly given desire, woman for man, man for woman. And there's these sensations in the flesh that could be aroused to such a way that they would go towards one another to bring forth the fruit of the womb. It's a natural thing. And in the mind of God and in the marriage bed, undefiled in all of its way, it's a pure, beautiful thing. But then yet, when there's demonic influences that come in, then it's something that would be pure through the motions of the demonic powers would take this lust, strong desires. Lust doesn't always apply to the sexual sins. But these strong desires come in and it turns something that was godly into perversion. And pervert something that would be good. And then you find yourself in the motion of sin. Now I say all this for a reason. We're speaking about a molestation. Now let's talk about spirits for a minute. The Bible says we're encamped by a great cloud of witnesses. Brothers and sisters, you are dwelling in a spiritual world. There's spirits all around you all the time. You can take authority over a spirit within a man or woman. That spirit will leave that man or woman. And the Bible said it goes out into the dry place. He's seeking a place of inhabitation. There's spirits all around. And these spirits are wanting to manifest themselves, and the only way that they can manifest themselves is by the entrance into a personification, a person. The devil can't kill, steal, and destroy until he comes and dwells within a man or a woman. He takes the gun, he takes the knife. A devil cannot ravish and rape until he personifies himself or comes into a person. We find a recording in the scriptures where this Mary had numerous devils cast out of her. Many times there are people, brothers and sisters, that are dealing with spirits. It could be the spirit of anger. You know, there's people that they just are so explosive in their anger, and it's a spirit, and it consumes them. They don't like it, but all of a sudden it just controls them, and they don't have any authority and power over it. It's a demon spirit. It could be a demon spirit of lust, alcoholism, cocaine. These are all spirits. And these spirits want to use your body to fulfill their pleasures. You have to become aware of spirits. The thing is, brothers and sisters, when you was a little baby and a child and took your first breath, there were spirits there. There was a breath of life, natural life, but there's a spirit, the human spirit dwelling within that little baby. And that human spirit manifests itself within the personification of that child. The Father's invisible, no man is seen, but the Father personified himself in Jesus Christ. That's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It was the Spirit of God, the Father, dwelling within Jesus that we could see, comprehend, and understand God. He dwelled within him in the fullness, the Bible says. There's not three gods. There's not three persons. Jesus Christ is God, Emmanuel, God with us. Bible said that he was there before the beginning, that he was there and put all things. All things were created by him. Everything. Invisible, everything invisible was created by him. So we know that he was there before the beginning. The Bible said he had no beginning, has no end. So we're speaking about spirits. So we find the great Spirit of God, the Father, dwelling in the fullness within Jesus Christ. We find that Jesus is alive and well today, but he's alive within us, the many-membered body. He comes and dwells within us. If there's any good thing done, it's the glory goes to God. Because there's none good, not even one, according to the Bible. None good. Not even one. You're not good because you go to church. You're not good because you put money in the plate. You're not good because you've abstained from sin. Or you're not good because that's the only thing, the reason that you would be good is because you are dead and no longer live. And now Christ lives. And that's the only good thing. So now we're speaking about spirits. When you find the members of your flesh and the motions of the flesh and the law of the flesh, the laws of sin, active and motivating in your life, then you've yielded over to that. Now let me say this again. As we talk about the little child, there's a human spirit dwelling within this child. This spirit is going to be numbered with one or the other. It's either going to be numbered with your father, the devil, or there's going to be a spirit that cries forth that says, Abba, Father, and it's going to be numbered with Christ. It said there's two masters, and you're going to give one to the other. Which one do you yield your life to? Let me ask you a question. If you marry a woman, and you marry a woman, you say, this is my wife. But she's not home. She's over at the neighbor's, sleeping at the neighbor's, staying with the neighbor, in marriage relations with the neighbor. Then is she your wife or is she his wife? Whose wife is she? You might have a piece of paper and say, well, this is my wife. Man, I went down to the courthouse. I got married. This is my wife. But if she's with the other, she's not your wife. She's a whore. Now, the thing is you say, hey, you know, I've got papers, man. I've been a member of the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, the Pentecostal Church. I've been a member, man. I've got papers. I was baptized. I this, I that. But then yet you're sleeping with the devil. And that's who you're of. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to is who you are of. If you yield your members over to the flesh, then you're of the flesh and your father's the devil. That's strong, isn't it? So there's a travail and a warfare, a dispute for the woman. These two spirits are disputing for the woman. Bless God, I'm a man. Well, bless God, you've been raped like a woman. I know it sounds like strong talk, brothers and sisters, but these molesting spirits are having their way and taking people that we love and people we care about and molesting them, and they'll bring forth the fruit of their loins. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to understand that these two powers are disputing for the woman that they could bring forth and add an increase to their kingdom. I want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to walk in the kingdom of God. And there's an increase in the kingdom of God. I want to yield my members to the husbandman Christ. The Bible said that we're married unto Him. I want to yield my members over to Him and enter that secret place and bring forth the fruit of the womb of Christ, the born again salvation, the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness. This is the fruit of the womb. But if we're bringing forth the fruit of drunkenness and envy and strife and jealousies and bickerings, idolatry, fornication, and lust, then that is the fruit of the womb of Satan. It doesn't sound good, does it? But Jesus Christ had mercy on you, knowing the weakness of your flesh, that He came and shed His blood and died, and that He could take to the Adamic nature of Adam, of that first birth that you were born into, and He took the handwriting of offense and He put it away as far as the east is from the west. He put your sin away and buried it. He took that on Himself and was beaten for it. And you say, praise God. But then yet, it wasn't finished there. He sent back power, brothers and sisters, that you could be endued with power to overcome the motions of the flesh. Is there anything that has dominion over you? Is there anything that is more powerful than God? So now what we have to do is we take to the occasion of this grace. We take it to the occasion, brothers and sisters, this grace. We take it to the occasion towards the Spirit side, and we exercise in the Spirit by walking in the Spirit, by fellowshipping in the Spirit. You know that our country, we have an army in our country and a military forces, and we take them in and we send them in by ranks to conquer. We have to work within the guidelines of a military mind and an order. The Bible said, you're good soldiers for Christ Jesus. Keep yourself unspotted from the affairs of the world. A soldier that is serving in the foreign lands, they've got to keep themselves in the mind of a soldier. You know how many men we lost in Vietnam? I think it was 59,000 men. You know why the biggest part of them were lost? Because it was a big party. Over there eating acid, smoking dope, and partying, and going out walking across a battlefield, man, and getting wiped out. You see, that wasn't a mind of a good soldier. The thing is that when you find that these demonic influences and powers are having dominion over you, it's because you're drunk on the cares of the world. And you're not acting like a soldier. You're not keeping yourself unspotted from the affairs of the world. The Bible said, touch not, taste not. The Bible said to come out of the world. And when you're in the world, you're going to find that the motions of the world are going to have dominion and power over you because you yield your members to it. I started to say about these molestations, little children and things, there's those sensations and things that rise up in them, and all they find themselves going back to these pedophiles and perverts because there's something that's happened in their little bodies that has been aroused to such a way that even though they don't like it, there's something they remember saying, this isn't right, this is unclean, this is ungodly, this is unholy, this ain't right, but there's something that draws them back, and it's the flesh. And this is the same kind of thing that happens to you when you are giving place to demon spirits. If you remember Friday night's message, when going back over and speaking about the garden where this serpent, Satan, spoke to Eve. And he said, hey, look, this is good. Isn't it pleasing to the eye? Partake of this. Taste of this. It's good. It'll get your eyes opened up. It'll make you as God. And he was telling her the truth. But he lied when he said they surely wouldn't die. Satan is going to do the same thing with you. He's going to lure you. And he's going to use your fleshly members to lure you. Oh yeah, it feels good. The Bible said that sin is good for a season. Speaking of the demonic powers of lust, a man who just can't help himself, he looks onto the women, you know, and he looks at a woman and he undresses the woman with his eyes and with his mind, and he's lusting after the woman, and going for and everything like that. And he says, man, you know, I just can't help it. And wonder why we teach the woman to dress modestly in good apparel and godly apparel. And people find fault with that. Man look upon a woman, lust after, he find himself cut off from God. The man can control that. Oh, I can't. Yeah, you can. By the authority and the power of Christ. But let me, as I said to an individual here, and I've said this before, talking about demon spirits. If this fine-looking woman comes walking through, the Bible said the thing that God hates the most is sowing discord among the brethren, but he said a woman with her mincing feet. What's mincing feet? Well, just turn on your televisions and watch these whores walk down the runways. Sluts. You say, Brother Rob, that's strong talk. I'm just telling you the way it is. You know, you guys think religious people are supposed to be a bunch of sissy-fied little punks that just walk along and we're offended by everything. I'm not offended by nothing because I got the power of the God in my life. And if you're so religious that the terminology that you listen to on your filthy TVs all the time and the preacher just speaks the way it is, you want us to use proper terminology and say gay. No, they're perverts, they're sodomites, queers. I'm not going to line up with what you think religion is. That's just your ideas. The Bible's very clear when they call them whores. And that's the way I speak, because that's what they are. He said he hates that. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, it's something that God hates. Now if you see this woman with the mincing of her feet and you lust after her, then you've committed adultery according to the scriptures already. You never had a relationship with her, but according to the word of God, you've already committed adultery. But let me tell you something. There could be five men sitting around together laughing and carrying on this and that. And four of the men know that this woman is eat up with AIDS. And she comes walking in and that other guy doesn't know it. He lusts after her. And the other four men ain't even looking that direction. Because they know that it's a sentence of death. Now how come those other four men have authority right now not to even want, desire, or look upon that woman when the other one is lusting after her? See, there was something he didn't know, wasn't it? Now why can't a man have authority then? It's because when you get your eyes opened up to the things of God, you know that there's death laying within the members of that woman. And that if you go in that direction, that you bring in a sentence of death on yourself. It would make things a little bit different in the way you look and the way that you think. I remember using this as an example, speaking of against obesity. Those are spirits. Sometimes with obesity, you can't stop eating until you hurt so bad. We've all been there. I've gone in a restaurant thinking, man, I'm hungry, man. Tell you, man, this old hunger pains, man, and you're hungry, and then you leave and you're in just much pain after you left because you gorged yourself. Those are spirits. But you see that person that is trying to get their body under control and order, and they find out that it's not good for them and their physical health is in bad shape because of obesity and a big chocolate cake back there, and they look at it and say, "Woo, that looks good." But if they knew that somebody stuck some strychnine in it, they wouldn't touch it. You see, it's a state of mind and a state of thought. The Bible said we serve God with our mind. You see, and there's the thought, now all of a sudden that cake don't look no good because it's poison. It don't look good. So the thing is by the state of mind, he chose not to eat that cake because he knew something. He took dominion over it in his mind and in his thoughts and said, man, I'm not touching that. Who do you yield your thoughts to? Brothers and sisters, there is a travail and a warfare in your thought. If you don't get your thoughts in order, the Bible said, cast down every thought and every vain imagination that would exalt itself before God. And when a thought comes, says, oh, you can't help it. Oh, man, this is just the way it is. No, you got to do that. God understands. He don't understand. The thing he understands, he gave you the power to overcome. We're not weak, brothers and sisters. Let the weak say that they're strong. If the weakness of the motions of your flesh is trying to overpower you, speak up and say, I'm strong. Say, shut up, Satan. Let's talk about these spirits now for a moment. Who is running your life? Who are you married unto? If these spirits are disputing for the woman, and they are, there is a dispute for the woman. And you choose ye this day who you serve. Who's the offspring? Who's coming forth from your life? There's a dispensation of grace. Has to do with the second heaven. Has to do with the soul realm. Has to do with blood life. There's a decision being made, brothers and sisters, in your life on a daily basis. There's a decision that is being made to where you dwell in all of your eternity. The thing is either you're going to be married to Satan or you're going to be married to God. Satan is the God of this world. But you're going to be married to one of the two. There's no middle realm. I don't care what the Catholic Church says. There's no purgatory. If we were going to teach purgatory, we're going to teach you are in one now while you still got breath in your lungs. There's a decision being made now. They teach this purgatory that after you die, you go into this place. And if you got some good uncles and aunts and stuff like that, they could pay the priest enough money and burn enough candles and say enough nonsense or whatever that they could bring you out of purgatory. That's a lie. There's no truth in such a thing. I'm telling you, when the breath quits going in and out of your lungs, you're destiny is sealed in. I know that what predestination is, and I know that your destiny was sealed before you ever took your first breath, but I'm telling you in the fact that when you take your last breath, your destiny is already sealed. And it don't matter who's praying for you after that fact and what they're doing for you, you are already standing in eternity. This life is short. It's like a vapor and a mist. It's here for a moment and it's gone. I made a statement on Friday night about selling your birthright for a bowl of oatmeal. It's what Esau did. Sold his birthright for a bowl of stew, we might say. Ignorant, isn't it? How ignorant. But then yet we do the same thing. The Bible said if we would gain this whole world and lose our soul, what has it profited us? Nothing. This world is temporal, brothers and sisters. It is temporal in the state and the being that it's in. It will go through a metamorphosis and a change, this earth will, but it's temporal in the state that it's in now. Your body is temporal in the state that it's in now. It's corruptible flesh. It's appointed to go back to the dust. We're not supposed to worship this body, nor love this body. Brothers and sisters, we need to mortify or kill it out. We have to kill out our thoughts. We got to kill out the fleshly ambitions and lust, the pride of life, the prestige, the masculinities, all of the things. We got to kill those things out and let Christ live. That's when the woman yields herself over to the members of her husband and becomes into one mind with him. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The only way you become equal with God is becoming bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The only way you become equal with God is by marrying him. Naturally speaking, go marry a woman. She becomes equal with you. Oh, I don't know about that. Well, go divorce her and you'll find out how equal she is when the judge says here she's getting half everything. Sounds pretty equal to me. The only way that you can become joint heirs with God is becoming married unto him and you become equal with him. You inherit everything. You inherit all the kingdom of God. Everything's yours. But then yet you'll sell your birthright for foolishness right here in this world. You don't have enough understanding to look beyond the clutches of this world. Let's go back to the chocolate cake a minute. You think, well, how ignorant is that rascal to go and dig into that cake and eat it down when you know it's going to kill you and it's got strychnine in it? You think, well, that was stupid. Can they control the members of their flesh just for a moment? Do you know to think that they're going to eat this cake? Boy, it sure tastes good. But then they die. Couldn't that man control the members of his lust? Couldn't he control the members of his lust instead of having his way with that woman that was eat up with AIDS and then he dies? But then yet it's the same thing, brothers and sisters. This world has a sentence of death. Do you realize that? This world, brothers and sisters, is death. We're not to touch, taste, be drunk on the cares of. We got to come out of the world. The Bible said, come out of the world and be a separate people. So now we find there again, I'll say this, that Jesus that the church world teaches and serves is not the same Jesus that I teach and serve. I know that sounds offensive, but they teach this Jesus and the Jesus that they're teaching is a whoremonger. That sounds rough, doesn't it? I'm not calling my God, my salvation, my Savior a whoremonger. He's pure, clean, and holy, and godly, and righteous. But when your Jesus is the kind of Jesus that you've been in the world, frolicking in the world, and partaking of the world, and then he is going to have relation with you to make you his member, or his wife, wouldn't that make him a whoremonger? The Bible said if you marry a harlot, then you are a whore. That's what the Bible says. Two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement, so what you walk with is what you are of. I'm sorry to offend some of you with the way I speak, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible said the minister's rude in speech, but not in knowledge. The thing is that if you are partaking of the world, and then you think that you're going to have this relationship with Jesus, and you're going to say, oh, he's my husbandman, I'm one with him, I've entered into the marriage tent with him, you know, and I've conceived of the Christ child within. You see, without bringing forth the child, there's no inheritance. Going to the Old Testament is the type and shadow of the allegories. If the woman did not have a child, they would get before the Lord. They'd get before the Lord and say, oh God, open up my womb. They were tore out of the frame because they knew without bringing forth a child, they had no heir. The thing is if you don't bring forth the Christ child, then you have no heir to the kingdom of God. But then yet the teachings in the church world is that this Jesus is so long-suffering and so patient that you're out laying with the devil and having relationships with him, and then you're going to come into his presence and he's going to have relationships with you. That makes him a whoremonger. That's why I said it's not the same Jesus I serve. My God is pure and holy. If you go back again to the Old Testament, the woman had to go through the rituals of the cleansing before she went into the king. She had to be cleansed and washed. Went through these ritualistic of about 1 year ceremonies of ritualistic cleaning and cleansing. Then she would go in before the king and the king would have his way with her. We've been cleansed and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we could go in boldly to the throne of grace and come into the secret chambers of a living God. But he's made us pure and clean. So if he made you pure and clean, then how could you be in the motions of sin and death and be partakers of the world? You see, it's by faith he has made us whole. It's by faith he has made us clean. It is by faith we receive this righteousness and holiness. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see God. So by faith of what the works of Christ did, we received this work by faith and were made clean, pure, righteous, and holy. And we enter into the secret chambers and we bring forth the child of God. You know, we think of Mary being a virgin and bringing forth a child. And we think, well, you know, that's awesome. But we're doing the same thing. You see, we are made pure, clean, and without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, just as the virgin, and we enter in before Christ. He did that work for us. But then yet, whoever you yield your members to or who you are of, and if you keep yielding your members to the motion of sin and death and to the things of the world and the frost of the world, then you're unclean and you're impure and ungodly and unholy, and you are of the devil. So, what is it? Travail. We're in a warfare. Who are we of? If you simply think because you confess with your mouth, you know, oh, Jesus is my God, he's my Savior, I said the sinner's prayer, oh, I got baptized, and you think that that makes you a Christian, you poor ignorant thing. Boy, I'm real offensive today, aren't I? The Bible says that they believe and they confess with their mouth. They believe in their heart. But then the Bible also says that man's heart is continually divisive and continually evil, and that a man does not know his own heart. So how are you going to believe with your heart? Brothers and sisters, the thing is that you will know who you are in him. The Bible said it's ye that are saved endure to the end. So we won't know until you endure to the end. Again, if you go on through life and you just live a righteous life, a holy life, you're in church every time the doors are open, you ain't robbing, stealing, cheating, you're married to one woman and you're keeping yourself pure in all things. You say, boy, there's salvation. That man's saved. And I say, well, praise God. But does he endure to the end? What happens when he turns and goes back into the world? What happens? The Bible said that all the goodness that he done is forgotten about. Every bit of it. That's what the Bible says. Oh, but then yet, on the other hand, that when you've been evil and living wickedly in the world and you turn and do good, that all the evil's forgotten about. We say, oh, praise God, hallelujah. He's a just God. This isn't a thing that happens on a daily basis. That scripture's talking about a turning into the things of God. This has nothing to do with the man up today, down tomorrow, up today, and down tomorrow. That's the serpent trail. The serpent is the one that winds around. You see, brothers and sisters, you know, that says, woe unto you given to change. We don't give the change. We're walking in righteousness and holiness and the power of a living God. My God's not weak. And when you say you're a Christian and you're out in the world and frolicking in the world and partaking in the world, you make your God weak, and it's not the same God that I serve. My God is all power and all authority. Well, you just read in Romans 7 and you read about the weakness of mankind. He was exposing the things of the law, brothers and sisters, in that, and exposing the law of the flesh. And we have authority and power over that law and have dominion over that thing. He made a statement that he serves the law of flesh with his flesh, but he serves the law of God in his mind and in his thoughts. Which one has dominion? Which one has power? Which one has authority? Choose ye this day who you serve. Either you're being raped and molested by Satan. Oh, but I don't want to do that. Yeah, I know. That's why I said raped and molested. It's the woman that's raped. It's being taken without her will. Either you're being ravished and molested by Satan, or you've yielded your members through obedience over to Christ and entered into the relationship to bring forth his offspring. Which one is it? Brothers and sisters, we need to gird up our loins. We need to start fighting the adversary, the strong man, the devil. We need to know who we are in Christ and quit confessing weakness. When you like the motion of sin and you like the things of the flesh and you love the world and the things of the world and you like to smoke, drink, and party and snort and all those things, you're of the world. You know, just accept that. Say, you know what? My father's the devil. I'm of the world. I'm just going to get with it. I'm going to get out there. I'm not going to play games with God. And you say, man, Brother Rob, that's some rough counsel. But this is what I would say that you should do. Pray that God God would fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost, and it would do you with power, that you are an overcomer in Christ, that you have all authority and all power and all dominion over the flesh, and put Satan under your feet, and do as Jesus said, "Get ye behind me, Satan." He told Peter that because he savored the things of the flesh. And when you savor the things of the flesh, the worldly lust, the worldly pride, and all the things of this world, then you are surrendering your members over to Satan. And you say, "Well, what is it, Brother Rob? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just be these, you know, little people that walk around in loincloth and go into our bedrooms and just pray every day and do all these things?" No, you need to get out in the world and bring those people out. Be the light. You need to take the light of this gospel into the world and eradicate the darkness. You're not eradicating darkness when you look like them and act like them. That means that you just reflected light when you was around light. When you get into darkness, you reflect the darkness. That's not a child of God. The Bible said that light forms within the darkness. When you are a child of God, there's a light that emanates from you, and it eradicates the darkness. You're the one that takes authority and power over the people that you're around. When you go around people and you drink and snort and smoke with them and act like them and lie and cheat and cuss and act like them, that's because you are of them. But when you get around those people and you take authority over that thing and you demand a holiness. You know, you could sanctify a pig. You could go out there and get an old pig out of the mire. Man, out of the stench, you got the old sow mire all over it and stinking like crazy. Man, you could wash that thing up, put a little bow tie on it, put a little perfume on it. You bring a pig in my house, that's what I'm going to at least do. I'm going to make it smell good while it's in my presence, and it's going to go right back in the mire. You see, that's what people are that don't have God. That's what Jesus said, if that offends you. He said it's like a sow returning to the mire, a dog going to its own vomit, lapping it up. Sometimes they come in your presence, they got vomit on their breath, because they've been lapping up their vomit. Boy, that sounds good, don't it? That's what the Lord Jesus said. Brothers and sisters, let's wake up and find out who we are in Him. That's what we need to do. We need to know who we are in Christ. And we need to realize that there is these two powers that are wanting to have a relation with us. We know that, again, the dispute is for the woman. And we're going to have to find out who we are yielding to. Satan will offer you everything. He took Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Hey, look at this. This whole world's yours. Just bow down to me. This everything's yours." That's what Satan will do. He'll say, "Look, man, you could have this woman. You can have this kind of automobile. Man, you could have this kind of business. You could have this, man. Just come on. Let's live it up. Let's have a good time. Man, this old church stuff, man, I don't pay no attention to that. Man, God loves you." You remember what we said on Friday night about over in the garden? Boy, that old spirit told Eve, he said, "Look, man, partake of this. It's good. Man, isn't it pleasing to the eye? Oh, man, all these things of this world is pleasing to the eye." Say, "Oh, it's okay. God loves you. Man, don't you know that He shed His blood for you? Man, He was beaten upon the cross for you. He shed His blood on the cross for you. You know, He loves you so much. Oh, He's a merciful God, loving God. He surely wouldn't put you in hell. You're a good old boy." Oh boy. How many of y'all heard that before? That's Satan. That's Satan. I told you Satan preaches John 3:16 more than the Christians do. "Oh, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish and have everlasting life." Boy, Brother Rob, that's the truth. Well, who said that Satan didn't bring truth? He brought truth to Eve there in the garden. He said, "When you eat of this, you'll become as God. Your eyes will become open." And they were. The Bible says that when they took and ate of it, that their eyes become open. The Lord said, "Who told you that?" So Satan's going to offer you all kinds of things. Oh, and he's going to lie to you. He's going to bring the truth. Jesus loves you. He's going to tell you that. Oh, He died for you. He shed His blood for you. Oh, He understands. Yeah, the grace does understand that He gave you the grace and the power, and He endued you with power to overcome the things of the world, and you walk in the grace of God while you're overcoming the things of Satan. The grace of God is not licensed to continually to walk in sin. Again, who are you yielding your members to? If you yield your members over to the things of this world, then you're of the world. If you yield your members over to the love of this world, then you're of the devil. It's that simple. So I pray and hope that you can get tired of being molested and raped and ravished. You shouldn't enjoy that, but sometimes you do because you like the world. You take a man with a spirit of anger, when he yields over to that spirit, it makes him feel powerful. It makes him feel strong and powerful. A man with a spirit of discord and strife, man, it's just like, man, he gets some kind of report, a talebearer. He gets some kind of report, and he just can't wait to get to a phone or to go tell somebody, "Hey, man, you hear about brother such and you hear about sister this and that?" And then they'll find fault with you because you snort and drink or lie, and they're doing the thing that God hates the most, sowing discord among the brethren. But there's a spirit there that just can't wait. It's a spirit. This is what we got to recognize, is what spirit are we yielding our members to? Is it anger, malice? Is it adultery, fornication, idolatry? Is it, again, envy or strife or jealousy, drunkenness? Is it harlotry? What is it? Who do you yield your members to? That's who you are of. You say, well, brother, I'm guilty. What must I do? Well, I'll tell you like this. If you think that I'm going to offer you some kind of a salvation and some kind of a Christianity by simply running down in front of a church and saying a little prayer, this is happening in every church in America, on the televisions. Oh, say this prayer after me, and you're saved. There's a lot more to it than that, but it is that simple. A little tract that I wrote back there about how do I know that I'm born again. You know, the man and woman that get married, they could say, man, we want a child. Oh, it's just simple. Have the relationship. You have a child. Is it that simple? Yeah, it's that simple. But then yet, on the other hand, sometimes there's no power within the seed of the man. Sometimes the womb is barren. Sometimes there's complications there. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, bring forth the fruit of the womb. Bring forth the Christ. And until you bring forth the fruit of Christ, then the thing is we would question who you're married to. You know, if a woman is playing with the world, if you have a wife and she's out frolicking around, don't come home at nights and stuff like that, and then she's home part of the time and out part of the time, and she finds herself with a child. Isn't it sad there's a lot of that that goes on this day and hour? And sometimes they got to wait and see whose kid it is. Sad. What child have you brought forth? Brothers and sisters, it's not hard to tell the fruit of your womb, who you're of. It's not hard to tell. Now, the thing is I will say this. You have a husband that loves you, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been raped and ravished by the things of this world, you need to denounce the things of this world, and He'll purify you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will receive you back in that you bring forth His fruit. But you're going to have to take advantage of the grace of God to the perspective of repenting and getting in and quit yielding yourself over to the satanic influences. Because as I say again, now listen, I said the church makes Him a whoremonger. He's not a whoremonger. He is not. He's not laying with anything unpure and unclean. But the thing is, if you go and read in Hosea, where he was commanded, the prophet of God, to go marry the whore, was commanded. There was a revelation in that. You and your first birth are unclean. You and your first birth are the harlot by nature. It said Israel was the harlot under every green tree. You were grafted in by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and purified and made clean. That makes Him not a whoremonger. But the thing is you've got to kill that out. And the only way you can do that is by the power of the headship of your husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to endue you with power. Quit making your God weak. Quit making excuses. The Bible said you are inexcusable. If you want to keep on making excuses for your lifestyle, then you're going to find yourself perishing. I'll tell you that out of the love of God. My God's not weak, He's power. He has the power to hold you and to keep you. Yield to that power this morning. Let's stand together. I appreciate you this morning and your attendance and your listening. Brothers and sisters, I wished it was as easy as running in and saying a little prayer into the altars. That's a good place to start. I'm not against people saying a prayer. I'm not against saying, hey, if you've never been born again, come into altars and pray and do that. But if that's all there is to it, brothers and sisters, America pretty much all has salvation. But America is an ungodly, dried up nation. America is one of the most sinful, adulterous nations that there is in all the world. And the reason it is because it was raised up by men of God with the fear of God, and America is turned away from it. That's what makes it more unclean than some of these third world countries, because they know better. The Bible said sin is not imputed unless there's a knowledge of it, and America has the knowledge of what it's doing is wrong. And America is pushing for every unpure and unclean and ungodly thing, and anything that's virtuous and righteous and holy, the legislation is trying to push it out of our government. Everything. We need to pray for our country. Don't get caught up into this Laodicean day message of the church. Not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this religious institution called the Churches of America. You turn on your televisions and they're full of filth. I'm talking about the religious broadcasting. As I said, I was in a funeral service here the other day, and the woman said that Elvis Presley was going to be the opening act there in heaven. I'd hate to be in Elvis Presley when I took my last breath. I can't tell you that Elvis Presley's in hell burning forever, but I wouldn't have wanted to be in him when I took my last breath. Because he yielded his members to the love of the world and the things of this world. He was doping. He used to sing gospel music for the Lord. And then he went off into the world and gave his members to the flesh and the things of the world. Had so many women and stuff. The Bible said no adulterer is going to inherit the kingdom of God. No drunkard. And he was all those things. So I could tell you by the understanding that I have, if he is in hell, that God had all right to put him there. which God didn't do that. He chose to go there himself. And Elvis was going to introduce this rock group Kiss for the opening act in heaven. I'm sure the Knights and Satan services are going to be opening an act in heaven. I'm just exposing the ignorances of the religious realm is what I'm speaking about. When these ministers are going to be out here marrying perverts and sodomites and putting them together thinking they're doing God a service, they're just of the devil. That's all there is to it. The Bible said when they teach and preach any other God than what Jesus and Brother Paul was preaching, any other doctrine, it said let them be accursed. And when they bring doctrines to you that are not found within these scriptures, the Bible said let them be accursed. So I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, the religious order of the institutions of America are cursed because they're preaching another gospel. Our God is pure, righteous, and holy, and the only way that you'll know Him is in holiness. The Bible said present your body, soul, and spirit holy. That's what we have to do. If you think holiness is just an inward work, you don't understand the word. We got to present this body as a living sacrifice. That's your reasonable service. Give Him everything, brothers and sisters, that pertaineth unto life. Brothers and sisters, take authority and power in your life. The altars are open this morning. It would be good if you just gathered around the altars. You could come in as an action of repentance. You could come in as an action of saying, God, help me, strengthen me. Help me to endure to the end, oh God. Let's just worship Him and love Him. We're serving a loving God. He is a merciful God, a God of compassion. When you've been in the world and you got that sour mire all over you, He'll cleanse you and wash you and make you pure and make you whole. Thank you, Jesus. We couldn't have a tomorrow without Him living, brothers and sisters. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just lift our hands and love Him and worship Him and praise Him. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the authority and the power over the flesh. I thank you, Lord God, that I have authority and power over every principality and everything that would strengthen itself against the knowledge of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The altars are open. Let's just worship the Lord, brothers and sisters. Don't be in a hurry. Let the Lord have His way. God is drawing by His Spirit. He's a merciful God. At the cross where I first saw the light, burdens of my heart rolled away. I think of that Roman centurion that was there at the foot of the cross, and he looked up into the Savior's face, and he said, surely, this is God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord loves you. He's extending His mercy and His grace towards you. Can you truly believe this morning that your name is written in the book of life? Thank you, Jesus. Do you love Him this morning? Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray together for a moment. Most gracious Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are all power, all authority. Hallelujah. Satan, it is recorded in God's word that you are the father of all lies. We know that you're a liar and you're a deceiver. Satan, I'm here to serve you notice that your lying allegations and accusations we do not receive, knowing that you are a liar. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you cannot have, take, or touch what is God's. You think you have a stronghold and you think you have dominion, but you are weak. By the authority and the power of a living God, by the blood that was shed of that Christ on the cross of Calvary, I tell you that you are weak and powerless and that you cannot do nothing. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Saints, pray with me in the name of Jesus. O malamasi shitaramakiya hotodoramake, sendre rama shandaramaki sitiramakose. Hallelujah. Satan thinks he owns one here. Disputing for his life, more than one, I could say many. Let's stand together and believe. The Bible said one could set 1,000 a flight, two could set 10,000. Let's believe together. As the musicians continue on. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Satan, I rebuke you. I say, take your clutches off in the name of Jesus. I pray for the mind right now in the name of Jesus, and I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over thought. Right now in Jesus' name, I say gird up your loins like a man, and let the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ be there within. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, let them understand that they have been molested. Father God, and that they could see the uncleanness and the impurity of that molestation. Lord God, that they could say, God, cleanse me and make me whole. And Father God, I repent in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me, strengthen me, and fill me with your Holy Ghost. Father God, I love you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Let's worship him, saints, and praise him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord, and I thank you and I praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let the Lord have his way. Let him cleanse, let him wash, let him make whole. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We have a prayer request for Sister Reba. Said that she's in the hospital with gallstones. And they say that the upper part of her heart is dead. Let's pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Satan, again, rebuke you. We speak life to that heart right now in the name of Jesus. And we command it to function by the authority and the power of a living God. Father God, I say move in her behalf and help her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I'm thankful that we have a God that we can call upon, that hears our prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you thankful? Brothers and sisters, surrender to the Lord Jesus. Don't let the stronghold of the enemy bind you. He wants to bind you, and he wants to make you powerless. Don't yield to the binding power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Yield over to the Lord Jesus. Let the weak, the Bible says, say that they're strong. Let the weak confess Jesus and say that they're strong. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song. It's amazing grace. Hallelujah. It's an awesome, amazing grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You love him? Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Bible said if you love him, you keep his commandments. The debt I could not pay, I needed someone to wash my sins away. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Find that you can walk in no condemnation when you walk in the Spirit. If you have no condemnation and you walk in the flesh, that means that your mind has been seared over with the hot iron. Amen. There's no condemnation to you that walk in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to point your hands toward the altars. We're going to anoint Brother Ed with oil. The Bible said if there's any sick nor afflicted among you, to let them come forward in the church and anoint them with oil. And the Bible said they shall be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all love him this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, you're not in any kind of warfare, any kind of battle that nobody else has ever been in. There ain't one of you that's done anything that no other man has ever done. And the thing is you just need to get tired of doing it. That's what you got to do, is get tired. How long will God's grace be with you? He said his spirit doesn't always strive with man. And sometimes we just keep on saying, well, you know, praise God. Grace is for me. Praise God. Praise God. And then one day you're cut off. Don't go there. I'm going to tell you right now, if you could receive this from me this morning, you're not cut off. I could tell you that, thus saith the Lord, you're not cut off. And you say, Brother Rob, you could say that to everyone that's standing in your presence right now. I could tell you right now that every brother and sister in this church standing in my presence, there's not one of you that's been cut off at this time. I say some of you are playing with things you don't need to be playing with. And I say that to encourage your faith and hope in Christ, that you could get yourself girded up like a man and quit acting like some little sissy and letting these spirits molest you all the time. You know, in the world of man, you know, we macho men, you know, hey, don't mess with me. Man, I'm bad. Don't look at me, man. Punk, don't look at me like that. You know, and you think you're bad. And all they are a bunch of sissies that are getting molested by demon spirits. It don't mean how bad. I don't care if you 10-degree black belt or 20-degree or whatever you are. That ain't bad. Those black belt guys, most of them are so bound up with spirits anyway. They're so bound up with these different kind of spirits, and they call on so many different kind of powers. That's not what bad is. The Bible said, don't fear that one that could take your life. Fear the one that could take your soul. If you let a man walk in your house and ravish your wife, and you're a man, you'd look at you and say, what is wrong with you, buddy? You know, before that guy's going to get to my wife, he's going to have to kill me. You know, he might be one big bad dude, but he's going to have to kill me to get to my wife or to my children. But you just let him walk in. Well, that's what some of you do. You just simply submit and yield over to the members of the flesh, and you just let these demon spirits have their way with you. You look at the sodomite community and you mock them and say, oh man, what a bunch of queers and sissies. And that's what you're doing. Because you're in your masculine mind as a man and you're having relationships with a masculine spirit. That makes you a pervert. You understand that? And then when you lust on another man's wife, the Bible said that's his flesh. And when you be lusting on another man's wife, you're lusting on that man's flesh, and that makes you a pervert. I don't like that. I hope you don't like it. Maybe you'll quit doing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all love him? Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. You love him? Keep his commandments. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We'll get Brother Paul to dismiss us. Y'all pray for us. Pray that we can do something for God in the kingdom of God. Pray that we can have exploits and endeavors to do more for Him. If you don't have a vision, make yourself available. You need one. My people perish without a vision. You need a vision to do something for God. The first vision you got is to surrender and give your life. As a living sacrifice, that's your reasonable service.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.